Hare Krishna, greetings from Govardhan. Would someone please like to say hello?
Hi, Maharaj, it's Rati Krishna.
Thank you, Rati. We know that there's other souls out there, but I need to hear at least one voice. Light is dim. What happens is the electricity's been pretty regular. It goes off about 5:30 and comes back at night. I have a inverter, so I get light, but in certain way that I can't see the page, which presents some challenges. It presents some challenges, but that's Vajrabhakti. Without some obstacles, you can't get strength. Obstacles kind of allow you to kind of bring out your full force. You know, you have to come to your best. There's always obstacles in devotion. So this is one of them. Okay, I'll try, even though I can't see the page. You may have to skip the Sanskrit. I don't like to do that. Maybe I just need to clean my glasses, which is another problem because my glasses broke. So I'm wearing a pair that are 3-5 years old. Nope, I can't see the Sanskrit, which is a shame because it's very beautiful. Okay, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 16, Text 9. Om Jnana Timurandasya. Translation. Krishna saw, Kaliya saw that Sri Krishna, who wore yellow silken garments, was very delicate. His attractive body shining like a glowing white cloud, his chest bearing the mark of Srivatsa, his face smiling beautifully and his feet resembling the whirl of a lotus flower. The Lord was playing fearlessly in the water. Despite his wonderful appearance, the envious Kaliya furiously bit him on the chest and then completely enwrapped him in his coils. Omigana Timurandasya Janandana Salakaya Aksur and Mulatamyena Asmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vichaitanya Manobhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Mancha Kalpa Kuru Jastra Kripa Sindhu Vaye Vicha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings to Govardhan. I have an audience today. Alex, some of you may remember Alex. He stayed in New York, came to Second Avenue. He's here in Govardhan. The Govardhan retreats with His Holiness Satchinandana Swami, which will start in about a week, and Bhurijan Prabhu. First Govardhan Leela, kind of like talks and mixed with Kirtan, and then there's a Kirtan retreat. Alex and myself had an idea to present drama. In Okay, I gotta do something here. Someone came on and okay. So we're working on something called the monk and the thespian. Details will come later, but I just have to say something to Alex now. I suggest, because we're going to do this Kaliya Leela in a very unique way, but I'm suggesting to Alex that what you do is, I'm going to be teaching this in Vrindavan, so I got to teach it. You borrow the thing from Keshav Bharti, and you read the 10th canto. You know what I'm saying? And what you can do is, you can read four or five verses and then chant four or five rounds and then kind of pray to understand the bhav or the meaning. And you keep on doing that. I actually had a very nice discussion. There's so many nice sadhus here in Dovardhan. Parthasarthi Goswami, and I visited him. And he was discussing about how we develop spontaneous, you know, devotional service. We want to develop greed. First is buddhi apeksha. Our intelligence becomes attractive. This is very nice. Then we can start to develop some legitimate ruchi. And then it becomes intensified. You know, it's something that we have to have, beg, borrow, or steal. So he was describing that he reads every day this commentary in the 10th canto where Krishna blew the flute called the gopis. And it describes how the different types of gopis, the Lishichari gopis, the Munichari gopis, anyway, there's different groups of gopis, how they come. And the idea is you're first in this world, then you come to Baba, then you get to take birth in Krishna's pastime. But not all that are in Krishna's pastimes are yet qualified in the Boma Lila, where Krishna's having his pastimes on earth, and then Krishna blows the flute. And some are qualified to go to Krishna, and some are not. And then that separation burns up whatever is left that's separating them from pure prema bhakti. So it's very inspiring how one enters Krishna Lila. He says he reads that commentary every day, every day, every day, every day. But why does he read it every day? Because it kind of sticks with inside you until greed develops, until a very intense desire. I must have this, beg, borrow, or steal. This is my goal of life. So that's a very advanced process. But still, I think in presenting Krishna Lila, one has to get the bhav, the mood. Even actors, they would pray to the personality before they would act. You know, that personality would appear within them. When Purijan Prabhu asked Radha Govinda Maharaj, who gives Krishna Lila, you know, speaks Bhagavat for 7 days, different pastimes, when he asked him how he prepares, how does he study, he said, I don't study, I relish. So, you know, I think it'll just create a good samskar, a good impression when you're here that will familiarize you, because there's no doubt about, you know, your acting skills. You know, you're professional, you've done it for so many years, your acclaim, you know. But understanding the character is not just material, you know. So that's really probably the part of the preparation that's probably most important now. And when you're in Dovardhan, it'll come. And it is a way you can chant. You could read four or five verses, and then you can chant and then pray. you know, that you understand you understand the lila, you know, you understand the pastimes, you understand how someone would feel. And the drama we're going to do is really from the perspective of the cowherd boy and actually how he feels. You know, so oops, I had notes someplace, not too many, but a few. So just to bring you up to date, and especially in this, coming up to date is ecstatic because it's rasa, it's bhava. So it starts with the cowherd boys scorched by thirst and going towards the Jamuna and having figured it out how they didn't see all this poison and things, but but, you know, somehow in Vrindavan, I guess Bob is so strong and everything is connected to Krishna. And the nature of Baba is you get absorbed, you don't become cognizant of the outside. That's prema. That's samadhi. Samadhi, the absorption is so intense that you're not cognizant outside. And there's lila shakti, that there's a potency that rules the pastimes, that people can become forgetful. But I would guess they were in such an absorption because they're bhava bhaktas, they're prema bhaktas, their heart is so, that whatever they do, they're fully there in the moment. Unlike, I have a sense of comedy, so I was joking with Alex that, because I come from a Jewish background, I can be anti-Semitic. You know, his fiance is from Chile, so he's describing how much he was into these miners being saved. So I would do a comedy when I don't know how this is coming. It was connected, but now it's not. I forgot. But the guy comes up. There's Jewish miners, and the miner comes up, and when he gets out, his mother is there and says, you know, how come you haven't called? You know how worried we were. Anyway, but it was somehow connected, but the point wasn't there. But so a very, very deep, deep absorption. And somehow they sip the water. Somewhere, maybe it was the gas, particularly, but that's it. They're losing their life. And of course, we can understand their shelter is Krishna. Ananya, there is no other. I'm meeting different sadhakas around here. Western people, good devotees, practitioners, preachers. And they're sharing their realizations during Kartik. And one sadhaka was telling me, deeply, deeply chanting, nothing else but Krishna. And you actually can have spiritual experience. So he had some kind of vision of one of the great saints here. And the saint, he almost heard the voice. Because in his chanting, he wanted, you know, to get taste of the holy name. And he was chanting. And the vision said, Akinchana, Akinchana. It means no other, no desire except Krishna, no other shelter but Krishna. And that's what happens when you're chanting Hare Krishna in a sincere way. And the separation is not clear. You know, with serving Krishna, it's mixed with sometimes ambition and sometimes obligation, do whatever it is. And you know, we have so many other shelters and attachments, things that we think will delight us and give us eternal happiness. And, you know, when you're a sannyasi and you're practicing so many years, sometimes you feel, okay, now I've, you know, I'm getting over these things. But it just separates it. This is the shelter of Krishna. These are all the other things. that you're hopeful will give you eternal bliss. But the cowherd boys, they don't have any other conception but Krishna. So when they're in their near-death experience, they have an inherent trust. Krishna, Krishna. But somehow they apparently die or become unconscious, and then they wake up to Krishna's loving glance, reaffirming their trust or faith. And trust or faith is not just a conception, it's an experience of Krishna. It's an experience that Krishna is the shelter. And the real shelter is what? The real shelter is, I need my heart filled endlessly with love and happiness. It's a pouring of bliss. And they're feeling that shower. It's actually described that Krishna's glance was like a shower, like a rain of nectar. It fills their hearts. And they look up and they it's confirmed. It's so confirmed that Krishna, by the mercy of the glance, they stood up and regained their lives. And the greatness of that act impels their sweetness and their friendship. And they're very much surprised, abhutaras, astonished. How has this happened? And they look at one another and amazed at Krishna's potency. How much love were they feeling? Then Marge Pickett Sukadeva is going to explain this horrible pastime, gives us a summary statement. But Marge Pickett is very concerned that he won't tell the details and lets him know, no, don't worry, I understand Krishna. I'm not going to, you know, I'll be able to take it, the horror, the fright. Because there is. I mean, if you love someone, and someone did a good drama about that person being tortured, you couldn't even look at the drama, even if it's not real. Alex, when I was in Washington, he was telling me, I couldn't go because I go to Washington twice a year, and when his dramas are, or any time, so he was doing this drama. And I said, I can't go, can you tell me the plot? I will never go see that drama. I mean, the plot. It was so painful to hear the plot. I couldn't believe it. I could not go to see that drama. And when Henry went to see that drama towards the end, he had to cover his eyes. He couldn't take it anymore. So hearing these type of things to someone who has a relationship with Krishna, Sukadeva said, I'm not going to tell this. Krishna and the coils, they can't even... Whoa. He says, don't worry, I understand that Krishna is unlimited. I understand how wonderful Krishna is. I understand how wonderful Krishna is, how unlimited he is. And he's Gopal. He tends the doe. He protects the doe, the cows. He protects goat, the senses. He protects go, the ears. Krishna takes care of our ears by his nectar of his magnanimous pastimes. And it describes then, Sukadeva, you want to hear it, I'll tell you. And he describes how horrible this poison is, the droplets are killing all the vegetation, the birds that are coming overhead, they're dropping and cooking, shrapyamana, they're actually cooking in the poison. You imagine a beautiful parrot of Vrindavan, of, you know, kuja kokila hamsa, you know, a swan, or, you know, cooking, and the poison is so powerful. The poison is Chanda Veda, very powerful poison. Very powerful poison. But even though it's powerful poison, Krishna is Nipita Vega. Vega, he has a force. And the force of what Purusha Sar, the person, the essence of the Supreme Person, the force of the Supreme Person who dives in that water, that poisonous water, who's Ananta. Why should he be afraid of snakes? He's Ananta. Alex, preparing for this drama, I told him to go around Govardhan Hill, and some guy came up to him with a little box and took off the cover, and there was a cobra. I call it Cobra Santa time. They're collecting. They're collecting. It's great, right? Imagine if we did that in New York on Fifth Avenue, you know? Anybody gives a donation, you give them a book. They break the fangs and the snakes are drugged. But it's not a pleasant thing to see. So Krishna was giving Alex a little taste of this drama. Anyway, he gave a donation. He got a book. Now, I'm just joking. That's a joke. I shouldn't mix the Hatsa Ras with the Boya Ras. It's actually incompatible rasas here. But what can I do? So Krishna jumps in, and then he begins to bang on the water. And it's, you know, it's a percussion thing, but like the most beautiful percussion ever heard in the world, ever. Because, you know, people can have drums, indigenous drums, clay pots, you know, all kinds of things. So Krishna was drumming on the water. It was like 100 mridangas. Sometimes you see the Mayapuris, there's 3 mridangas in tune. Very powerful rhythm. Very powerful. So it was 100. It sounded like 100. Rhythm. It was the rhythm, and the birds are the melody. The birds are the melody. So I'm envisioning that the Cowherd Boys are having this vision of the sounds of Krishna, the sounds of God, and how beautiful the sounds are, the extreme, the unlimitedly beautiful music. And Kali is described as Chakshu Shrava, which means that he, two things it means. It means that he heard with his eyes, because a snake is deaf. When a snake charmer, they think that they're hearing the flute, but the guy is just putting the flute back and forth, and the snake is following it. But also, Chakshu Shrava also means his eyes were famous because he saw Krishna. So he kind of sensed the vibration with his eyes, or maybe was feeling the vibration. And then he comes out, and this verse is what he sees. And it's not only what he sees, it's what all the Cowherd Boys are seeing. Krishna, who wore yellow silken garments. They're so beautiful. And he's Sukumara. Sukumara means most delicate. I saw these paintings that they're making for Shivam Swami's new book, and he said, they're very beautiful. They're in black and white. He said, just the colors in the spiritual world are unlimited, so let people use their imagination. But Sukumar, and his attractive body shining like a glowing white cloud, his chest bearing the mark of Srivatsa, his face smiling beautifully, Smitasubhaga Mukham. Beautifully, because it's not just a Hollywood smile. There's a smile that comes from love. There's a smile that comes from the heart. And that smile that comes from the heart is the most exquisite smile. It's a whole different thing. A very beautiful, loving person whose smile is a reflection of their heart, not of their sex appeal, not of their ego. The smile of the heart And the Lord was playing fearlessly in the water, his feet resembling the whirl of a lotus. Lotus is transcendental. You don't see them in America. And occasionally here you see a lotus. And honestly speaking, when you see a lotus, it looks like it's not of the world. If you really see a lotus, it's an amazing phenomenon. It looks like it's in the world, but it's not of the world. But it's above another dimension. It's so beautiful. So it's whirl of a lotus. It's just describing that it's out of this world. I mean, it's not like it has to be shaped like a lotus. But Krishna is playing fearlessly in this water, which is boiling greenish red. And greenish red is when a bad Indian cook cooks in a pot, a black, dirty pot, and puts in too much turmeric, spices, and dirty bay leaves, and the sabji comes out green. I don't eat that one. Okay. Despite his wonderful appearance, the envious Kali furiously hit him on the chest, furiously. This is envy. Envy. The exact opposite. You look at a snake's face, it's representing the heart of envy. That's why it's so frightening. Because it's just envy. There's no reason. It just wants to bring things down. So envy. And the envy comes out in the form of poison. And then completely enwrapped him in his coils. So now we're going to see the bhav of Vrindavan. Because we're going to see the bhava, because we're going to see how the residents feel about this. And any the lila creates the emotions that increase the love, and the love is pleasure. So we'll see Krishna enjoying lila or pastimes, although apparently bhaya, fearful, it's actually fearful expression of love. And because it's not material or spiritual, it's a flow of ecstasy. Even though it's fearful, it's a flow of ecstasy because it's something's coming through their heart, but it's loving. So it, you know, there's some fear and they're actually afraid, but some love is coming from all his associates. The sun come up, I can read the Sanskrit. Tam naga bhoga paritam adrispritetam aloka tatriyasaka Pashupaprasharta Krishna Pitatma Suri Artakalatakama Yukanu Shoka Bayamudha Dhyana Teta. When the members of the cowherd community who had so it's going to give a general. Wait, who is it? The cowherd community? Oh, yeah. Okay. These are his friends. It's going to show how all the residents reacted. When the members of the cowherd community who had accepted Krishna as their dearmost friend saw him enveloped in the snake's coil, motionless, they were greatly disturbed. So they're seeing him by seeing that he is... that he did not exhibit any activity that just like blew their mind. There's no activity in his body now. He's limp. He's a huge thousand-coiled snake. So he's limp. He's limp. And they actually, now all these emotions start to come from them. Disturbance, fear, which is just increasing their love. It's bringing their rasa, their bhava, their rati, to like the highest height, which is what Krishna enjoys, because he's rasika, he's in connoisseur. They had offered Krishna everything, and this is why. They had offered Krishna everything, their very selves, their families, their wealth, wise and all pleasure. So this is spiritual consciousness. Everything is for God. Everything is for something else. Material consciousness is everything is for me. My wives, myself, my families, my wealth, my pleasures. For me. Shift. The spiritual world, it's for God. That's the selfless platform. For you, you're a particle of consciousness. For God, what you have is for everything. It's for the ultimate benefit. And when you have that consciousness, when you move in that perspective, then love flows intensely from your heart. For everything. And at the sight of the Lord in that clutches, then there, mudha, it became bewildered. By what? Deranged, mad. It says it's deranged. By how? By grief, dukkha, anashoka, bhaya. They became bewildered by remorse, by fear, by pain. Completely bewildered. Because what is their life now? Their life is Krishna. They're losing their life. You know, some people become attached to someone. One of my friends told me he had these old disciples. You know, like a couple in Europe. Very, very old. Unusual. And the husband is dying, and the wife does not want to live. She becomes bewildered in that. But he's dying. She has no life. Previously, relationships was more like that more often. It was some kind of chastity. Mutual. The husband can't live if the wife dies, but usually the husband dies first because he's older and women live longer. They just can't live. In my family, I remember my grandfather died and my grandmother died, you know, a couple of months afterward. And I remember another, my aunt's parents, her father died, the mother died afterwards. Bewildered. Nothing makes sense. What does bewildered mean? Nothing makes sense anymore. There's no sense. And then the Gavo Brisha Vatsataya. Vrando mana sudukita krishne nyaste shana bita udantya eva tastire. And I said, oh yeah, then they fell down. And Sanatan describes it like trees have been cut. Boom. And that's another ecstasy. Same thing. That's called Satsika Bhav. It's the emotion is so powerful that you're not even thinking. It just comes to the body and just crushes you. It's called Satsika Bhav. Boom. It's also ecstasy. That ecstasy is increasing. And now the cows which means all the animals, the bulls and female calves, in great distress, called out piteously to Krishna. Fixing their eyes on him, they stood still in fear, as if ready to cry, but too shocked to shed tears. Ready to cry, but too shocked to shed tears. So, as if crying, because the anxiety is a heat. So even though the tears would have come, they were crying. So, it's just the spiritual world. The leader's creating all this drama. And the love is, which is the love, but it's, when you look at it philosophically, the love is the potency, the pleasure potency. And it's being unlocked to the fullest extent, flowing from Krishna. It's called bhakti-nand. It's the highest pleasure of God is love, which must be placed outside himself to experience it. Which is difficult because there's nothing outside himself. So within the Supreme Absolute, there's some kind of separation. Atapa jay mahopatas trigita yati daruna upeta bhuvi divyat mini asana baya samsina. In the Vrindavan area, there then arose three types of fearful omens, those on the earth, those in the sky, and those in the bodies of living creatures, which announced imminent danger. This is a science. It actually is there. There are omens. People know the science. I know the science of the left ear twitching, the left eye twitching for the man. I know when that happens to me, boy, I know what's going to happen. And then it gives the vision of Vrindavan. I'm going to talk to Alex about the drama a little bit. You can all, but I'll just read this. Seeing the inauspicious omens, Nanda Maharaj and the other cowmen were fearful, for they knew that Krishna had gone to herd the cows that day without his elder brother Balaram. So I remember I tried to explain this story once, and Mahesh Pandit was in the audience. Some of you know him from New Jersey. And he has his daughter. I forgot what his daughter's name is. How can I forget? Something in an A. And he had a wonderful, nice daughter. And I tried to communicate with him, and it was right after the World Trade Center. I said, Mahesh, you know, the omens, it would just be like if your daughter worked in the World Trade Center. And then you got news that it was coming down, and you didn't know if she. And I saw, just by saying that, his like face dropped. He was feeling it so intensely, you know, it wasn't there. So they were feeling it. I mean, they had so much love, and because they had dedicated their minds to Krishna, accepting him as their very life, they were unaware of his great power and opulence. So, Pashu, there's a word, Atavida, not knowing opulences, but accepting them as his life. He didn't know these opulences. Because the opulence would ruin the rock. Oh, he's God, the Supreme Lord. Bah. Nothing will happen. So it ruins the rock. So they don't know he's. They're unaware of his great power because they dedicated to the mind, they accept him as very life. But they concluded that the inauspicious omens indicated that he met with death. And they were overwhelmed with grief, lamentation, and fear. Again, these Vyabhachari Bhavs are going. And I just give you, it's just an example of this, but met with death. You say, why do they say death? Could there be any other conclusion? I always tell the story that I stayed at my mother's house. And I have a room and bathroom there. And she went out for the whole day, probably to Atlantic City or something. I went out the whole day. Then she came back. And on the way back, it was by 8 o'clock, I was out preaching, I called her, I said, I'm coming, I'll be there in 20 minutes. She said, oh my God, I thought you were dead. I said, what do you mean? She said, when I saw that your car was gone and your clothes were still there, I searched every room for a dead body. I said, come on, couldn't you come up with any other conclusion than that? So naturally, they thought, oh my God, he's dead. When they saw the, and because actually that's more real, because it's Vrindavan. But anyway, they still don't know his power, but still, omens were there, oh my God, he's dead. And then it described all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, including the children, women, and elderly person, thought of Krishna. This is a cow, thinks of her helpless young calf. A cow thinks of the, like let's say a little calf, like breaks the leg and falls in a ditch, and then the cow is over it. That's how they felt. And thus these poor, suffering people rushed out of the village intent upon finding him. There's one other scene that I hope you can fit into the drama, and maybe you can fit it in with the mother. And this may make more sense, because I think it's still maybe not completely correct that the mother didn't go, because they love Krishna more than their own son, and even more than the calves, you know. So maybe she can say she started to go. Because there's a scene where they're searching for Krishna. Maybe the mother could describe this. And the way they're searching for Krishna is his footprints are cherished in Vrindavan. There's so much love, so much infatuation. His footprints are so cherished that no one ever would wipe them out. They're like revered. So they started like yogis searching in the white sands for Krishna's footprints, calling out according to their relationship. The gopis, my lover, the parents, my son, you know, the cow, my friend. So it was all this bhav and love. And maybe the mother is calling my son, even though it was in Krishna. She's walking, but maybe she was calling. You know what I'm saying? And then she was calling. Maybe then she saw a calf, you know, and, you know, Krishna's calf. So it was in relationship with Krishna. Mother Yasoda, when she's cooking for, you know, she dropped Krishna to go get the milk that was overboiling because the milk was for Krishna. So because it was Krishna's calf, she saw somehow one of the young calves also running, right, and falling in a hole, you know, so maybe the same thing. She went, and then she got her way lost, and she couldn't find it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So maybe she can explain that this is what happened to her. And I said also, these kind of embellishments in the drama, you know, give it a greater life to the drama. Like, you know, there's a whole other, it's not just the drama, there's a whole other world happening. Mm-hmm. That's interesting, right? Because then we get that sense. Supreme Lord Balaram, okay, he didn't get upset, we know about that. Then the residents hurried toward the banks of Jumna in search of their dearmost Krishna, following the path marked by his footprints, which bore the unique signs, the footprints of Krishna. The master of the entire cow were marked with the lotus flower, barley corn, elephant, goat, and my dear king, seeing his footprints, the residents rushed with great haste. They would carefully preserve his footprints as great treasure, the very ornaments of the earth. There's no creature within the Vrindavan ever walk upon Lord Krishna's footprints. So, you know, Sanatana said, have some time, why were his footprints surrounded? And then, as they hurried towards the path, they saw from this that Krishna was in the late motions. They further saw that the cowboys had fallen unconscious. In the vision, when they come in, and the animals were standing on the side crying out for Krishna, seeing all this, they became overwhelmed with anguish and confusion. So I think also when you do this drama, although there'll be a script, you know, if any other things come in, you probably can, right? And live them. Okay, anybody like to ask any questions? I'm in Govardhan. I'm going back to Vrindavan for the last 3 days of Kartik. And to see different people that are there. And then I'll come back here for the Govardhan part of the retreat. At least I'll attend the classes. And some of the classes, and I'll take notes and share them with you. So, would anyone like to say hello on Wednesday? I can feel the people are shy. Okay, Rusty. Okay, you're getting through. Let me just unmute everything. Is that Gail?
It is.
Yeah, Gail, do you remember Alice?
Yep, I sure do.
You sure do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
Can I?
All right. Thank you, Gail. You have a question?
Can I offer a realization?
Please, Gail. I would love that. Yes.
My realization is the connection between your joke and the pastime.
Okay. What's
just
the realization?
My realization is that mother, just like the boys, they were acting, or in her case, speaking, out of overwhelming love. She was speaking out of love for her son. She was not speaking from the head, she was speaking from the heart. And the boys also, they went into the river, not with their head, but because they were absorbed in their heart.
Oh, I even forgot the original joke, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what was the original
Why
joke?
Why haven't you called? The son was...
Why didn't you call? Okay, the joke about the Chilean people coming out, she gave the connection was, is out of, like, emotion. People forget the whole circumstance, right? So the Jewish minor comes up and it also says, like, and I told you, why do you want to work in such an occupation? You don't do things like that. But anyway, well, and then, you're right. They said, why haven't you called? Completely oblivious of the situation. So the analogy was the coward boys, when they came, they, as an example, they're oblivious to the situation. in Vrindavan, everything, they're so, they're so absorbed. Thank you, Gail.
Yeah. And by the way, Mahesh Pandit's daughter, she was Ami, and now she's Krishangi.
Oh, Krishangi. How can I forget Krishangi? But you can imagine when I told that story and I used that example, how Mahesh Pandit felt, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can see he felt it. And that's what drama is. They felt it. Okay. Okay, thank you, Gail. I really appreciate that you always are on these sanghas, listening. Yeah.
I always appreciate the really loving light that you put Krishna in. Really.
Thank you, Gail.
Helps.
Thank you, Gail.
So much to warm up to him.
Wow. Thank you, Gail. One day you'll be out here in Govardhan.
One day.
And I'll take you to meet all the mystic sadhus.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Bajrade Devasi.
Bajrade. Well, I was just thinking today how much you and Govardhan listen to these lectures. I was saying Next to Gail, you may have the highest attendance, and I appreciate it. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, others are there, but this is a smaller intimate group than Sunday morning. It may be the time, you know, working Wednesday night, you know, people are just like beyond themselves, dragging themselves to work. Maybe it's too intense for them. Maybe they have to sit down and watch a sitcom or something. Unfortunately. Because this is the elixir. This will actually satisfy the self. But Vrindavan, it's really, I mean, Govardhan, my God, it's just so... Alex can tell you, more can happen in an hour than can happen in your whole life. And I went yesterday, I'm doing this documentary film. I have this professional Hollywood award-winning documentary filmmaker who's a devotee and preached with me many years ago. So I've kind of just have to arrange his expenses here, which is something, but he'll do the film. So he's doing a film on Govardhan. He's spending a month here. And what he's seeing every day, it's like, you can't imagine what you'll see every day on this Prikram. And it's getting packed towards the end of Kartik, and what you'll see. These Rajasthani ladies doing Dandavat Prikram, and he interviewed them yesterday. Mm-hmm. Right? Why are you doing Prikram? Right? And they were blissful and smiling, and they said, for the happiness and long life and prosperity of my family, and my children, and my husband, who is like God. I said, hey, we may have to cut that part out of the film if we show it in the West. It's just amazing. And it's so good. And I walk down to Govindakund, the Satchinandana Swami, it has this ashram to him. It's like, you can't believe. It's just like it overlooks Govindakund and then Govardhan Hill. And he's so absorbed that he agreed to be interviewed for the film also. You know, and he described how his whole life, even before his devotee, he was looking for sacred space. He understood the concept. When he came to Govardhan, and then, you know, you wake up and it's 4:00, everyone's up with bells and chanting and bathing and, you know, the experience. So then I was walking on the way back, and Govardhan fills all desires, and I said, I really don't want to walk back, you know, because, you know, I was hungry also. You know, we skipped lunch. So at that moment, this motorbike comes by, and there's Mukunda Babaji. He has a little Jagannath temple in Govardhan, and I just have a relationship with him. I go there a few times, but he has such affection for me. He said, get on the back of the motorbike. You know, there's space there. I said, no, I'm walking with my friends. I walk another 5 minutes, and then this Brijbasi comes from Govardhan. You just have to see what his face looks like. And he's on a motorbike. He's driving the motorbike, and he's the one that does every day in his family for 500 years. They fed at least 40 sadhus a day. They do madhukari, they come begging. And I go there sometimes too. And I'll tell you, there is no food in the world better than a Brijbasi roti or chapati. There's nothing better. And they don't even use a roller. They pat them with their hands. And the whole family's engaged, and they make, you know, they love it. And all the sadhus come to their house. Then he stops. And the guy on it, he tells me to get off. And then he drives me back to the ashram. But I just said, love. They have devotion. They, you know, their hearts. You can see it in their eyes. They love God. They love others. They love everyone. They're peaceful. They're blissful. You know, you have to enter. There's a door. I think the door is the holy name. But then you see that there's the real Vrindavan here, the real Govardhan. And let's see, one more thing. I don't know if I ever told you of a nice lady from Moscow named Anna. Anyway, she took initiation in Karthik. Her name's Ananda Govardhan. Just interesting tidbits here. Okay, thank you all. I'm headed out to Vrindavan. It's funny, you're going to Vrindavan. You're taking a step down. It's an unusual feeling. Govardhan is, wow. But Vrindavan, I'll give class every day and something. Hare Krishna.